As we turn to Scripture this morning, normally this would be the place where Ken Burvey would be reading, so if you will indulge me, I will read in his place. We turn again to the letter of Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. So I want you to listen to these words of Paul's. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And as we move through the Gospel of Luke today, you can find this passage on page 75 in the New Testament on your pew Bible. Hear this story of Jesus Christ. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As you have heard me say in several of my sermons, I often go about my week thinking about and reflecting upon the lectionary passages from the Bible. And out of the blue, a certain verse of Scripture will hook into my brain and it won't let me go. Well, that's what happened this past week. This perplexing passage for me is the final verse, 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15 from our first reading. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. A worker. What does this mean to be a worker for Christ? Well, let me explain how it seems to me by using a couple of examples. My dad, as a young man, my father, Bill Morris, knew what he wanted to be. He knew he wanted to become an engineer. And he had a dream, a vision for his future. And so he went about going after that dream. He got his bachelor's degree in engineering from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And then he joined the Air Force and eventually got his master's degree and his PhD from Ohio State University. When I was a little guy, I can remember going to watch my dad lecture in a big lecture hall at Ohio State University, and I remember being very impressed. My dad was totally at home in the academic world, teaching students and writing research papers. My dad's specialty was industrial engineering, and within that, his specialty was how to increase productivity in industrial processes. And he was very good at what he did. At the time, he was the youngest tenured professor at Ohio State University. Well, my dad really enjoyed the academic life, but what really made his heart sing was when he got to go out into the real world in the role of a consulting engineer. My dad had a long contract with the Air Force and also with National Cash Register, helping both of these organizations maximize the productivity of their workers. My dad would often take his family along on these consulting trips, and we then got to see his real passion in expression. He took us all sorts of places, and I can remember three in particular. I remember going with him when we toured the Ford Motor Company in Dearborn, Michigan, when we went through the Utica Club Brewery in Utica, New York, and also the Kellogg Cereal Company in Battle Creek, Michigan. My dad's eyes would just light up when he walked along an assembly line and described to us how the factory workers could do their jobs more efficiently, more safely, and with greater productivity. It was an amazing thing to behold. My father's dream of becoming an engineer became a reality when he watched the employees assemble new cars or bottle beer or package breakfast cereal. My dad's passion took concrete form. His vision was made real. That also reminds me of an experience I had as a young man. Growing up in central Ohio, my family had spent parts of many summers hiking and backpacking in national parks all across the western United States and Canada. And in the back of my mind, I had this dream of someday, somehow, becoming a national park ranger. Well, as luck and God's grace would have it, I got that chance when I was a junior in my bachelor's degree program at Indiana University. Now, as some of you may remember my stories, I was offered the position of a park ranger on the south rim of the Grand Canyon in northern Arizona. What an amazing opportunity for this kid from central Ohio. I had never been to the Grand Canyon, but I can remember sitting in the library on the campus in Bloomington, Indiana, reading everything I could lay my hands on about the geology and botany and biology of the Grand Canyon. This was before the internet. And as wonderful as it was to read about each of those geologic layers that composed the Colorado River's Grand Canyon, it was at best an academic exercise. My dream finally became a reality when I was able to put on the National Park Service uniform and hike down through those incredible rock layers, 7.5 miles from rim to river, walking back through 2.2 billion years of geologic time, hiking through half the age of the Earth to get to the Colorado River. My passion then took concrete form. My vision was made real. Throughout the Bible, as we read and study, we begin to understand that a similar situation is going on with God. From the very first verses of Genesis, all the way through the hundreds and hundreds of pages and thousands of years of human history,
All the way to the last chapters of the book of Revelation, God is working diligently to bring about God's vision, God's dream for all of creation, including all of humanity. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, all the way to then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. God has been working tirelessly to bring about God's dream, God's vision into reality. Some people call this the kingdom of God, the model of Christian creation that God started with, and the reality to which God is leading us all one step at a time. The Jewish tradition has a concept in the Hebrew language that encompasses this dream too. It is God's shalom. Many of us have heard the simplistic explanation that shalom means peace, but it is much more than simply peace. Shalom means to allow God's vision to come to fruition. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Shalom means salvation for everyone, redemption and acceptance and harmony and mutual respect. Shalom means a return to creation as it was in the Garden of Eden. It means ecological bliss. Shalom means there is no war, no poverty, no hunger, no thirst, no disease, no sin, and no death. Shalom means an end to hatred and evil, and a return to unconditional and unlimited love for all time, for all people. Shalom means that God and human beings are back into the relationship of grace as it was in the beginning. This is God's dream. This is God's vision. This dream began with God the Father, and it has given way to God the Son, and it has come now to God the Holy Spirit. And in order for God to make this dream a reality, God is requesting our assistance. Because Jesus Christ has left this earth, and he has left in his place the Spirit of God, we have been assigned a new role. We are no longer simply human beings. We are not only children of God, and we are not simply followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus has made us into the hands and feet and eyes and heart of Christ in the here and now. My brothers and sisters, we are the workers for Christ. And that what this means is that God loves us, each and every one of us, as God's own children. And God has given us the minds and hearts and bodies that are fully capable of taking the book of the Bible, taking this book and translating it into the living Word. God has empowered us to go from theology to mission, from reading and thinking and pondering about God to the action of becoming God for our world, the quantum leap of faith that takes us beyond these walls into the real world. God is moving us from talking the talk to walking the walk. When we walk in the crop walk this afternoon or donate our money to the walkers, we are workers for Christ. When we run or walk in the Komen race for the cure, we are workers for Christ. When we build a house or lift our voices in the choir for Habitat for Humanity, we are workers for Christ. When we clean up the church grounds or take out the trash or clean toilets, we are workers for Christ. When we raise money for nothing but nets, and give away free cheeseburgers to our neighbors,
we are workers for Christ. When we cook a meal to be served after a memorial service, we are workers for Christ. When we agree to serve on a church committee and spend a few evenings a month in meetings, we are then workers for Christ. And when we allow our love of fellow human beings to overcome our fear, our racism, our mistrust, we are workers for Christ. When we see God's vision and discern our role in God's kingdom, we are workers for Christ. God is moving all of creation toward shalom. Of that we can be absolutely sure. And each of us has a part to play in the realization of that dream. And Jesus said, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Amen.